What can we do but pray in the face of such love that God has spilled out for us? Let's bow before Him right now. Father, we don't have words adequate to even begin to thank You for giving Your own Son. And Jesus, that You were willing to be broken and spilled out for us. But Lord, how we praise You that You're risen, that Your grace is greater than our sin, and Lord, that You're in this room right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that You're here to change us and glorify Yourself. And Lord, that with You nothing's impossible. Lord, we confess You are worthy of all praise, glory, honor all the time. Lord, all surrender, all love. And God, today, we ask that this will be a turning point for many in this room, that Lord, we'll take another step with You. And God, that You'll be able to flow and do things we can hardly even imagine in the days and weeks ahead. So, Father, thank You for ordaining this day. Thank You for bringing us together. Father, we praise You for what You're going to do, and that You alone will be heard and seen and glorified. But we ask all this in Jesus' holy name. We pray and we worship. Amen. Friends, I am truly looking forward to what God's going to do in the months ahead and weeks ahead, years ahead in this church. It's kind of interesting. We do pray a lot about where we go, and it's amazing when I have something come open. A lot of times I say, well, Lord, do you want me to stay home one Sunday, and or do you want to fill it? And there were several options, but just didn't have a peace about it. But in talking to your pastor, since the Lord wanted us to be together this weekend, and certainly the fact that I'm here is nothing, but the fact that God's here and that He's ordained this time is very, very special. And I'll tell you, what I see God doing around the world, and even beginning to happen in America, it's like God takes churches on a journey, kind of a deepening journey. Sometimes it means being reduced a little. Sometimes we have to go through some challenging times. But He's getting us to a place where He can really explode in power. And I've been privileged to be at places where, not because I was there, but because of what God did through the Scriptures, churches begin to have a turning point, and it's like a renewal, and they see a lot more people saved and just a lot more things happening. But you have seen some incredible things. When I look at this building that you have and the land that's here and paid for, you don't know how unusual that is where the places I go. When I hear about some people coming to Jesus the way they have in recent days, I hear about your desire for missions and your desire to serve. The love I sense here, you know none of that is an accident. And the Word of God says, He who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion. So isn't it really exciting to just wonder, what if 6 months to a year from now you could say, man, we're almost like a different church. We've grown so much. And it's not about just numbers. It's just about God moving. Or maybe in your own life. And that's what we're seeing. People are taking that one turning point in their prayer life, and 6 months to a year later, they are really like different people. I mean, they've seen so many more answers to prayer, so many mountains moving, and God's doing it all. But He does it through what we're talking about in this conference. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is an incredible promise, but there's a prayer truth that I missed for years. It's right in the middle of this. It's actually the key to the whole thing. Jeremiah 29, 11, and you know, folks, I get asked this a lot of times, so I'll go ahead and answer it because somebody's probably wondering, especially the older people ask me this. With my last name of Frizzell, people ask me, are you any kin to that famous old country music singer, Lefty Frizzell? Well, actually, I am. Now, it's kind of distant, but you can relax. I will not try to sing country music to you. If I did, you'd need a prayer conference for your ears, if you know what I mean. But people always ask me that, so I thought I would share that with you. Now, before I read this text, I want to give a little fuller testimony. I've mentioned it. I love to praise God because we're so unworthy of anything He's done in our life. It's all His grace. But in 1994, I had an illness. So this sounds odd. I got blessed with an illness. She said, that doesn't sound like a blessing. Well, it ended up being. I've been pastoring 10 years, and we'd seen God do some pretty neat things. But I didn't realize it, but my prayer life had kind of gotten in a rut. And there was a new work God wanted to do. But I got this illness called Lyme disease. You get it from a tick bite. And they didn't know what I had, so I did not get the right treatment. And it ended up doing devastating damage to my neurological system. In other words, folks, it did really serious brain damage. People say, oh, now we can tell that. Well, it wasn't the kind of make you dumb or anything, but it did destroy my energy, and I had no energy, had a lot of pain. And they finally figured it out, but it had done me a lot of damage, and I was just couldn't only function. And they said, we don't know if you get better. Some people do, some people don't. And so they weren't that encouraging. And I was getting worse, and they said, you're going to go on disability. And I couldn't hardly preach, you know. And I was begging God to heal me. And, folks, a lot of times he will heal us, and he just miraculously. Sometimes he uses doctors. So we should pray for healing, and many times he will. But you remember what God told Paul one time when Paul was begging God to remove his thorn? We don't know exactly what it was, but it was bad. And God said, I'm not removing your thorn. And that's what he told me, and I didn't want to hear that. But he said, I'm going to show you something missing in your prayer life. And when you let me give you this, you'll have far more joy than you ever had when you didn't have pain. And you'll have far more power than you ever had when you were strong. And you know what? I'm not a writer, but that was 40 books ago. And that was after what we're talking about right here. Friends, none of us deserve anything from God. And none of us really are strong. We may think we are, but sometimes our weakness can help us get to the real thing. But we're going to be talking today about how God really can start us on a new journey, even though you may have served the Lord a long time, or maybe you don't know him yet. But this is what he wants to do in our life, is to touch us afresh. Father, thank you for your holy word. And God, thank you that you are so real, that you are so powerful, God, that you are the truth. And Lord, thank you that you're coming back. Lord, in these moments, we ask you to help us have our eyes get open to a new depth with you, a new place with you. Father, save us from being in any kind of rut. Oh, Lord, take us deeper, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When God was speaking to his people, and frankly, they were in big trouble. They'd been lukewarm. They'd played games with God. And you know, sometimes we don't know we're doing that, but they were, and they were actually under judgment. They were about to be taken prisoner by a foreign nation, and that was a bad, bad thing. And so they were not sure about their future. They had false prophets lying to them. But look what God said to them, even though they were lukewarm and frankly in a mess. He said, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. And folks, that word thoughts in the Hebrew text also means plans. So God was saying to them, and really to you if you know him, he was saying, I have thoughts for you and I have plans for you, even though you might have blown it. And he goes on to say, there are thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Well, the question is there, what is your future? What is God's plan for you, whether you're a teenager or a senior adult? Now, a lot of people today will tell you, well, the plan of God is to bless you. And that's a good prayer. That's part of his plan, and we ought to pray that. It's a good prayer. Or some will say, well, the plan of God is to make you successful. And it is. It might be different in the American version. Some will say, well, the plan of God is to heal you. And a lot of times he'll heal you, and we should pray for that. Even if he says no, he'll give you grace and he'll do something else. But, folks, the good news from the Bible today is that the plan of God for us, for you as an individual, for this church, is a lot better than just blessing, healing, and success. You say, now, what in the world could be better than blessing, healing, and success? Well, folks, John 17:3 is an incredible statement about God's will for us. John 17:3, Jesus said this. He said, this is eternal life. And what did he say? That you may get blessed? Well, that's part of it, but not what he said there. He said, this eternal life, that you may know God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Now, what's amazing about that verse, that's the same word used in marriage, that word know. But he's not talking about physical intimacy. He's saying, look, I want to be so real to you. I want to be so powerful in you. I want my joy to so fill you, my voice to be so clear to you. Jesus is saying it is not about religion. It is not about just going to church. It is about a personal relationship with God that is powerful, that is real. In fact, in John 7:38, Jesus made this phenomenal statement. He said, if you believe in me, what he mean was you really believe. You don't just go to church. You walk with God. You really believe. You really walk with God. He said, I think I've got it right. He said, there will be a little trickle of living water that will flow out of your heart every now and then, right? That's not what he said. He said, if you believe in me, you really walk with me. He said, there will be rivers of living water gushing continuously out of your innermost being. What's he talking about? Folks, he's talking about the Spirit of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the patience of God. He's talking about the power of God. He's talking about answered prayer. He's talking about a mountain-moving prayer life. He's talking about God doing things in our midst only he can explain quite a bit. Well, the problem is studies show something's happened over the last 40 years in America, that there are an awful lot of precious believers really are saved, But something's happened to that river. I mean, the power, the joy, the passion for souls, the answered prayer. It's something's blocking the river, and we're going to see today what it is. Now God can totally change that. So he says, I've got a plan for you, and the plan is me. It's God. It's him being real, not just being religious, but God flowing, God moving, God doing great things. A lot of people getting saved, a lot of lives being transformed. But folks, the plan starts with knowing that you know. I mean knowing that you know that you know that you know. One of the biggest obvious works of Satan in our day, it has been so easy for people not meaning to at all to join a church without really getting born again. It's just extremely common today. But there's good news. We're seeing a rising tide of precious people realizing that it happened to them. You know, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they're what? They are a new creature. It says everything has become new. Old things have passed away. Could I ask you a question? Could you become a totally different creature? Everything new, old things pass away and not know it. Or it not make a powerful dent. Well, of course that couldn't happen. In fact, in Romans 8:16, it says that if you're his, the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are, not might be, you are the child of God. The Bible calls it a powerful, perfect peace. Oh, there's times a believer could have a little bit of doubt, but he's saying there's going to be a powerful peace. But right now we're seeing an epidemic of people that did not mean to, but joined because somebody else did. Or join the church because their wife wanted them to, or just seemed like the right thing to do, or their friends did. But they didn't really surrender their heart to Christ, and they didn't become that new creature. They don't have that perfect peace. They don't have that desire to really walk with God and be used to God. But they're changing. I'll give you a great example. There was a lady in our family, Aunt Ruth was her name, where I grew up in Tennessee. And everybody loved Aunt Ruth. She was a really nice lady. Been in church like 50 years and done everything you could do in church. You know, she taught and everything else. But Aunt Ruth had these nagging doubts. She wasn't really saved. And she'd tell friends sometime, and they'd say, well, if anybody's going to heaven, you are. Sure, you're saved. She'd say, well, I guess you're right. But at 72, she developed a type of cancer they absolutely could not treat. And they told her that you're going to die. There's nothing we can do for you. And folks, my aunt was really terrified. She could not ignore that anymore. And so she called the pastor over, and she said, Pastor, I know I've done everything in the church, but I've had these nagging doubts my whole life. And he said, well, let's ask God to give us wisdom. Let's pray about it. And they prayed. And he said, now tell me when you joined the church. And you know, she talked about it. God showed her what had happened. It was a revival meeting, and she was sitting with her teenage friends. And many of them started going down front to give their heart to Christ. And she looked around. There wasn't hardly anybody left in the pew. And it dawned on her, you know what? I went down there with them. I just went with them. And she said, somebody handed me a card and said a prayer over me. But she said, I didn't really give my heart to Jesus. It wasn't a serious surrender of my life. And it's all a gift, but it's more a gift than just like ordering pizza. It's more than saying some little prayer. And it dawned on her, I didn't give my heart to Jesus, but people liked her. And before long, they had her doing things in church, and then they had her teaching classes. And she realized, I got dunked, but I didn't give my heart to Jesus. You know what? At 72, she got the real thing. And do you know what happened to her fear? It totally, completely left. I mean, it was incredible. I saw her die 6 months later, and I will never forget it. She said, I want all of you to know the last 6 months of my life, knowing I'm dying, have been by far the happiest of my whole life because now I know him. Now I know that I know him, I don't know about him. And she knew I was going to preach, and she said, Greg, everywhere you go, tell the precious people, don't live another day with doubt. Make sure you've got the real thing. See, Jesus said very clearly in Matthew 7 that on the day of judgment, there won't be a few, there won't be some. He said there will be many who were religious leaders, fully expecting to get to heaven. He's going to have to say, but I never knew you. There was never that surrender, that grace of God that you embraced. It's all his grace. But friends, you know what our biggest enemy is? Pride. I've had so many people that I've seen that were in that condition. They said for years, I wouldn't admit it because I was ashamed. There is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Friends, all of us are lost if we get saved, whether we're a church member or not. It doesn't matter. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But it's so beautiful to see the plan of God starts there with you knowing that you know. And yes, some believers can have a little doubt sometimes. They're really saved, but can have some doubt. The little book over there called Save, Certain, Transform, right out of the Word of God, it shows you how to let God help you never do that again or really get over that. So that's the plan of God, is that you know that you know. And we're seeing a lot of people, didn't mean to, but they're getting the real thing. They're getting the real thing now. But folks, the plan of God sure doesn't stop there. Well, a lot of believers, they think, well, that's it, I'm saved now. Oh, no, it just starts there. Look at verse 12 back in our scripture here, Jeremiah 29:12. Remember, God says, I've got a plan for you, and I want to be real in you. I want to be powerful in you. I want to move mountains and answer prayer and save souls and do a mighty work in a church or in a lie. But the problem is, look at verse 12. He said, then you will call upon me, and you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. See, they weren't experiencing that abundance of God. But he said, then. Now, to them, that then meant 70 years. They weren't going to get out of exile overnight. Praise God, it doesn't likely mean 70 years for you. But the key is, he said, you will call upon me, and you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now, here's the problem. They were already praying their heads off. Oh, yeah, Lord bless us. Oh, Lord, heal us. Oh, Lord, don't let us go in exile. Oh, Lord, fix our economy. They were praying their heads off. And they were his people. So what was he saying here? He was saying there's going to come a time when you're praying different than you're praying now. That word pray is a strong word in the Hebrew text. It's not average prayer. They were already praying. He said, one day you're going to be praying a different way. And when he said, call on me, that word means cry out to me with all your heart. They weren't doing that. It was a different level of prayer. So here's what God was saying to them and us. In busy America today, it's happened to us like it did them. They didn't realize it, but they drifted into a type of prayer that wasn't the strongest type. It wasn't mountain moving. It wasn't heart surrendering. So he said, there's going to come a day when your prayers have gone from here to here. And he said, then you're going to find me. Then you're going to see me moving in your life in a whole new way. Look at verse 13. He describes what that prayer life is. Notice what they were to pray about. He said, you will seek me. Now, by the way, folks, that word seek, that's a strong word. That is not just ask God for stuff. We're good at asking for stuff, and that's fine. But he's saying, you will seek me. That's a whole different type of prayer. And you will find me. That's a promise. See, God wants to be more real to us. You will find me. When you seek or search, that's a strong word too. When you search for me, a certain way, a little bit on the run, right? A little dab will do you. No, he said, when you search for me with all your heart. Now, it's very vital to see how he said this. Because remember, folks, they had big problems. They needed miracles. They needed mountains moving. But they weren't seeing it. But here's what he said. What were they mostly to pray about? What were they mostly to seek? Remember? He said, you will seek what? Me. And you'll find what? Your miracle, right? When you seek for your miracle, no. When you seek for me, you'll find your blessing and your goody, right? No. Three times, he said they were mostly to seek me. What was he saying? This is very important. They did not realize it, but they drifted into a type of prayer where they were seeking God's hand a lot more than his face. You know, God heal us, God bless us, God do this, God do that, but not God have my whole heart, and I'm going to surrender to you total lordship today more than I did yesterday. Folks, that's how God spells love. He said, John 14:15, if you love me, you'll sing pretty, right? You'll have great buildings. No, you'll obey me. You'll hunger to surrender to me. That's what they weren't doing, and they didn't realize they weren't doing it. That's happened in America. Many precious souls. We're praying, and God's blessing us. Anytime we pray, there's some good in it. But it's not the mighty flood. It's not that river. So what does he do to take us? How do you seek God with all your heart? How do you go from here to here? Well, if you look with me in James 4:8, he gives the answer right out of the New Testament. I love this. James 4:8, it's another promise. Because here's what we're seeing. A lot of believers are praying, but a lot of mountains aren't moving. A lot of kids aren't turning around. A lot of people aren't getting saved. Churches have prayed for revival for 40 years, still haven't seen it. God really wants to change that. Now, James 4:8 is the key. He says, draw near to God, and he might draw near to you. He will draw near. But how do you draw near to God? What did he mean by that? We got to understand what he meant, not the American version. What did he mean by seek God with all your heart? What does he mean by that? Well, look at James 4:8. The next part of the verse, he tells us how, and it's the missing element. He says, cleanse your hands, sinners, and that's all of us. And he says, purify your hearts, you that are double-minded. That means we're barely giving God 5 minutes on the run. It means other things, too. But he was saying, if you'll draw near to me with real deep cleansing and yielding, then I'll draw near to you. But now here's the problem, and there is a problem. A lot of believers in America did not mean to, and it might not have happened to you. I'm not saying it did. But across this country, many believers think we're doing this. We will say, oh, yes, sir, I'm doing that cleansing thing. Every day I say, God, forgive all my sins. And, Lord, even every day I'll say, Lord, search my heart. But the problem is just saying that doesn't get it done. I say, Lord, search my heart. And you got 15 seconds. I didn't get it done. And so a lot of believers have been tricked into a pattern in their walk with God where the surrender, the ever-deepening surrender is light or it's missing. It's a theory, not a reality. And therefore, we're still saved. He blesses us some. He couldn't love us already more than he already does. It's not about getting to love you. That happened at Calvary's cross. But this is about the power. This is about the fellowship. This is about your faith getting stronger. This is about the fellowship that allows him to explode. He's saying. In fact, if you look at verse 9, it's real clear. He's not talking about a little shallow cleansing. He talks about mourning. But that kind of mourning, that kind of cleansing leads to God lifting you up. Now, the question is, okay, how do we do it in our busy lives? How do we go to another level of faith, another level of power, another level of love, another level where God's voice gets clear to you? How do you get there? Because we are busy and we're not perfect. God knows that. Aren't you glad he loves us even though we're far from perfect? Well, the disciples were just like us. I love the disciples because God's real honest about them. And they sure weren't perfect, but he used them and he blessed them. But do you remember they watched Jesus' life? They saw him walk on water. Man, that'd get your attention. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him open blind eyes. They heard the most incredible sermons. But isn't it interesting they didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach? They didn't say, Lord, teach us to, let's have a water walking class. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to work a miracle. Do you remember what they said? Because for once they got it. They really understood. Remember what they said? Lord, teach us to what? Matthew 6:6, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, you remember why they said that? Because they finally got it. They saw prayer as the center of his life. If we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to pray. We're going to not just pray, but pray properly. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And you remember the first words out of his mouth, and by the way, that's a great thing. We need to pray our whole life. Lord, teach me to pray deeper, because we keep going deeper. Otherwise, we get in a rut. Now, studies show a lot of precious believers are in it. It might not be a bad rut, but it's a rut. Remember the first thing he told them? Because isn't it amazing? When they asked the right question, the Lord always immediately answered them. Folks, he wants to touch us. First thing he said was, he said, what will you say this, this, and this when you pray? He said, it's the attitude of your heart and your focus. He said, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees. He said, go in your closet and shut the door and seek the Father in secret. Now, do you understand the Lord never gave suggestions? When he said something, it was a command. He dead well meant it. And he was saying, guys, prayer is not about praying out there to be seen in front of people like a Pharisee does, to be show off. And he said, prayer is not some ritual that if you say it over and over the right way enough times, God's got to hear you. He's saying prayer is you and God up close and personal with the door shut. It's a love relationship. He's got your total attention. It's you and God. It's sincere. It's your total focus on him. But, folks, he is commanding us to have a quiet time. He is commanding us to get along with God. Would you agree with me that Jesus is our example of how to live the Christian life? Well, did he have a quiet time? Absolutely. In Isaiah 50, verse 4, it says, every morning he made time to get listen to the Father. That didn't mean you have to pray just in the morning. I mean, you might have a great time at night as well. But, folks, he's saying, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to walk with God, you will have a quiet time that's serious enough where he's got you total focus and you're not rushed. Now, I don't have to tell you this. We all know it. We are the busiest society that's ever existed. And you know what else we are? We're not just the busiest society. Guess what? We're called the instant society. Do you know why? We love things instant and chewed up so well, we invented everything instant. Think about it. Instant coffee, instant tea, instant soup, instant breakfast, instant banking. If it's instant, you can count on it. We Americans invented it. And you know what? We've even got instant yogurt now. Can you imagine being so lazy you don't want to take the time to spoon yogurt, just let me drink it? That's pretty lazy, isn't it? But you know what? I'm glad we got all that stuff, aren't you? But about 40 years ago, we did something that was a problem. We tried to invent instant quiet times. No muss, no fuss. We'll read one verse and say a little prayer, maybe a paragraph, and you're done. You're done. That's all you need. Now, friends, the problem is the Bible doesn't say anything like that. And again, don't misunderstand. The devotions are great. Use them. Don't stop using the little devotions. They're wonderful, but they're not in any way designed to be all we need. And so, but yet in the instant mindset, many believers, oh, a little dab will do you. Remember the old Braille cream commercial? Well, many believers' prayer times begin to kind of be like that. There was no shut door, no focus on God. Now, for us that go into your closet, now praise the Lord, it doesn't have to literally be a closet. Some of our closets are so junky we could not get in them, right? So the Lord's not saying you got to pray in a closet. But he is saying, God, get along with me. Now, that might mean a bedroom. That might mean a car. It might be walking outside, but he's saying, you got to give me your total attention as a love relationship. And to us that shut the door, know what that would mean? That would mean cell phone off. That would mean Bluetooth out of the ear. That would mean it's a love relationship. But here's the thing. When we embrace that, God can start a whole new work. Or when we go from 5 minutes to maybe 20 or 30 or more, it's just astounding what God can begin to do. But you know the Lord's Prayer. He told us, okay, when you do get along with me, he told them, well, this is kind of what you're going to do. Now, some people get excited about that Lord's Prayer because, oh, goody, I can say that thing in 15 seconds, those five lines, and I'm done. That's not what he meant. Now, folks, it's fine to say it like it is. Sometimes a beautiful prayer. What he was saying is, when you get alone with me, it's not complicated. But when you get alone with me, these are the things you're going to do. And when he said, hallowed be thy name, that means you're going to spend a few moments just nothing but praising, worshiping God. Just enter his presence like that. He said, you're not going to rush me. You're going to spend a little time just praising, thanking, worshiping me. Then he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Notice it's not, I don't get to my list yet. It's God, what's on your heart? God, are there some lost people I might pray for? Or marriage I might pray to get healed? Or the church to be revived or grown? It's kingdom things. Thy kingdom come. And then, you know, the third one, we got that one. I know we all do. Give us our daily bread. That's asking God for stuff. That's telling him what you need, where you're hurting, what you're happy, where you're sad. Just talk to him. But that's third, not first. It's very important. I think I've got this right. Jesus said something about this is how you pray. This is how you live your life. And I think I got it. He said, let's see, seek first to get your needs met and get blessed. Amen. Not what he said, is it? Remember what he said, Matthew 6:33, seek first what? What does that mean, though? That means the king and eternal things. Seek first the king and eternal things. And then what did he say? Your wish list, your problems, right? No, that's not yet either. Seek first the kingdom and his what? Well, it means his name exalted is righteous, but it also means God cleanse every corner of my heart. Lord, help me yield today deeper than I was yesterday. And you remember what else he said? If you'll seek first the king or the kingdom and his righteousness, what did he say? Oh, I already know about all of this stuff. You'll hardly even have to ask. He's saying if you'll get focused on the king and the kingdom and the deep, total yielding of heart, he's saying, I'll work so many miracles you can hardly keep up with. That's what he's saying to us. But studies show in America something happened. Many believers got tricked into the prayer life is about 70-80% mostly asking God for stuff. You know, quick, God forgive my sins and thank you. Now, here's what I really want to talk about. Friends, God loves us even when we do that. But it's not hard to adjust this. It's amazing what just a shift of focus, he'll begin to take over, and he gets very, very real. Okay, well, you know the Lord's Prayer, but I'll tell you the one in it that is life-changing and the one that is the missing element. When he got down to that part, we said, forgive us our trespasses. And a lot of people get so excited about that. There it is, Greg, my favorite Baptist prayer right there in the Bible. Lord, forgive all my sins. But that is not what he said. Read the rest of the verse. There's no period there. Sentence doesn't end there. He said, forgive us our trespasses. What else did he say? As, do you mean there's something else? Yeah, there is. As we forgive those who trespass against us. What he's saying is forgiveness. And remember, he's talking about your daily fellowship. Or once you save, he forgives you as far as eternity goes. He's talking about that daily yielding, that daily cleansing. He's saying, it is not just a little phrase, God forgive all my sins. He's saying, I want your heart. He's saying, I want to know, is there any anger sitting there that you hadn't completely let go of? And folks, this would go way beyond anger because the same God wrote Matthew, wrote Psalms, and in the Psalms he said we're to give him our whole heart. We're to let him search us. We're to let him try our thing. He's saying you have to surrender your heart to me in your prayer time. It has to be real. It cannot be some general thing. I've got to surrender my thoughts, my attitudes, my relationships, my words. And so what he's saying to me, real prayer, real closeness with me, it's going to involve a daily surrender. But here's the problem. In America, that element is just flat missing. It really is. Now, a lot of people will say, Lord, search my heart, but we don't let him do it. Or, Lord, I want to give you everything, but we're not getting specific. Now, it's not like you got to do this every day or God will get you. But, folks, it can't be missed many days because none of us have outgrown this. But here's the great news. When we are willing to give God a little more time than average, and when we're willing to really embrace this cleansing, you know what happens? He can now fill you with that fruit. He can now fill you with faith. He can now fill you with those pure thoughts instead of the unclean thoughts. And he can now fill you with gentleness instead of the anger and the temper and faith instead of the doubt. Let me give you a really good illustration of what God is doing. We're in a battle, you know that. So many parents are heartbroken for kids and grandkids that are not walking with God. And they prayed and prayed and prayed, and frankly, a lot of them still aren't walking with God. And so many churches are heartbroken because we know God wants to do more. We're just not seeing it yet. And but he's getting us ready, but it's through this deeper prayer. But illustration I'll give you is, I could give you so many, but one in my church in Memphis was a good one. There was a woman there named, I told you about one last night, named Polly. And I got a lot of men do this too, but this woman's a good example. Her name was Addie. Now, Addie knew the Lord, and she had a pretty good little quiet time most days. But her son named Darren was just in a nosedive. He was walking away from God, and it was getting worse and worse. He was frankly about to wreck his life. And Darren, you know, was a church member at one time. He made a profession of faith. But he was changing. He was getting around drugs, and he was getting around the wrong people. And Addie was just praying her head off that Darren would turn around. She was praying, praying, praying. I mean, nothing was happening. He was getting worse. But Addie heard the things I'm sharing with you in this conference this weekend about going from devotional prayer to God-seeking intercession, about going from average prayer to mountain-moving prayer, and the type of prayer that tears down strongholds. And it just dawned on Addie, you know what, I'm not doing that. And it dawned on her, I'm kind of rushing God. I've gotten stuck in average prayer. And she came to me, and it dawned on her, it may be that I need to go deeper for God to touch my son. And she came to me, she said, Brother Greg, she said, I pray, and I've got a little quiet time most days, not every day, but she said, I just sense I'm not praying with mountain-moving faith, and I sense that the power of God is just not flowing, and there's something different. And she said, I'm not that good at prayer. And she said, I'm sure not perfect. And I said, it's okay, none of us are. And she said, do you really think I can do this? I said, I know you can. It's all the grace of God. She said, what do I do? I said, Addie, if you'll do one thing, God will do the rest. She said, what is it? I said, would you be willing to show up for practice? She said, are you starting a class? I said, no, Addie, I can't help you. But I said, would you be willing to give God, instead of 10 minutes or so, would you give him 20 or 30? And I'm talking about after you've read scripture, of nothing but prayer. And Addie, would you give him at least 10 minutes of nothing but letting him really get your heart surrendered each day? She said, I'd like to, but I don't know how to do this. I'm going to give you about 200 scriptures. Her eyes got big. I said, two or three a day, don't worry. And I said, over the next 7 or 8 weeks, little by little, he's going to really go through your whole heart. See, the problem is, when I had the Lyme, pastor in 10 years, and what the Lord said to me when he said, I'm not going to heal you of Lyme's. Now, he may someday, but he hadn't yet. And by the way, it's not contagious, so don't worry about shaking my hand. You can't get it that way, okay? But what I never will forget it. The Lord was saying, you need this deeper surrender, and you need this deeper prayer. And I was saying, now, Lord, I've done that surrender. Now, Lord, I've done that cleansing list. He said, you just think you have. And he said, there's another list. Not the American list. It's a New Testament Great Awakening list. And he was right. And it was about 200 scriptures, something like that. And so that's when God totally changes you. The cleansing and yielding goes deeper. Well, I told Addie that. And she said, same thing they always say. She said, what's he going to say to me? I said, I don't know. But I will tell you mainly what he's saying to American believers. There really are some people we've not totally forgiven from the heart. It really has to be from the heart. I mean, we have to let go of that speech that we like to give certain people. And there's a lot of people that there's somebody, we need to give them a phone call or go see them and ask them to forgive us. We you know, the old Baptist, I'm just going to move on. Sometimes we move on without asking forgiveness. The Holy Spirit can't fully move on. So I told her that. I said, there may be some people, and she said, yeah, I think there's somebody that I need. And so she nodded her head. And I said, there may be some TV programs that are grieving the Spirit. And I told her the same thing. This is so big today. There's a lot of people confessing the same 3 or 4 sins over and over and over and over, but those things aren't changing. And folks, that isn't real. When it's confession without repentance, it isn't real. And I told her that. And I told her, I said, Addie, he may show you that you're lukewarm. You don't have a passion for souls. You don't have a passion for the glory of God. And I said, whatever he shows you, he's not doing it to condemn you, but to set you free. If you'll get honest with him, it won't happen overnight, but over a few weeks, it will amaze you how he's going to. And I said, do 3 things. Let God totally have your heart. Commit to that process. And I said, you'll miss a day or two. Go back the next. No, it's not legalism. And I said, ask him to increase your faith in how you pray for your son. And I said, ask him to show you how to use spiritual weapons and tear the strongholds down. Folks, that's Christianity 101. That's not complicated. And I never will forget it. On that Sunday morning, she knelt at the altar. And she said, Father, help me give you a little more time than I've been giving you. Father, help me let you search my heart far deeper than I ever have before. And this woman had been in church, you know, for, I guess, 30 years. And she said, Lord, increase my faith. And Lord, show me how to tear down the strongholds in my son. Are those pretty good prayers? You think God will answer them? He really will if we'll show up. Well, you know what? She did it, and I never will forget it. The first week after changing her prayer life, she came down to the altar again. She prayed for a few moments. After the service, she looked at me kind of puzzled look. She said, God showed me five things in my life this week that had been hindering his spirit. And she said, Greg, four of them, I had no idea they were even there. But then she just smiled, and she said, his grace is wonderful. I said, yeah, this is not about getting beat up. It's getting changed. And the next week, she came again. Lord, children, two or three more things. And she was a nice lady. I mean, and the Lord was showing her attitudes and things she had and values she had she needed to yield. And this went on for like 6 weeks. And then the seventh week, I saw her face change. It's beautiful to see men letting God transform their prayer life this way as well. And teenagers, it's incredible. But the seventh week, her face changed in the prayer meeting. You say, what in the world do you mean her face changed in the prayer meeting? Well, for 3 years, she'd stand up every Wednesday night and beg us to pray for Darren. And a lot of times, she'd start crying because he was just getting worse and worse. But she just was smiling, I mean, just beaming ear to ear. And she said, y'all keep praying for Darren, but God is going to touch my son. She was just almost dancing. She was happy. And folks, Darren was worse than ever. He was awful. And I went to her gently and I said, Addie, have you seen Darren lately? She said, oh, yeah, I've seen him. I said, why are you so happy? Now, I want you to hear what she said. She said, Greg, 7 weeks ago I was praying my head off, but there were things in my heart that I didn't even realize were hindering his spirit. And she said, I'm sure not perfect, but it's just different now. She said, when I'm praying now, there's something different going on. I sense a power I've never sensed in my life. But she smiled. She said, Greg, the beautiful thing, 2 weeks ago in my time with God, God gave me two promises for my son. She said, I don't know how or when, but God has told me my son's going to be saved and my son's going to be a minister. I said, oh, that's nice. I thought I hope you're right. He wasn't no minister. But do you see what's happened? Please listen. That woman's gone from average devotional American type prayer, which isn't bad. She's now gone to the effective, fervent prayer of a clean heart, James 5:6. She's now praying in real faith, not hope. And she's believing that. She's standing on that. She's praying on a whole different level. And she said, God, show me what his stronghold is, and I'm asking God to tear it down. Well, now I want to be honest with you, folks. I don't want you to get beat up. Well, if my kids aren't doing well, it's all my fault. I'm not telling you that. The devil will tell you that. But you know what? They got a choice. So I don't want you to get beat up. But at the same time, with many Americans, we are seeing there is another level we can go to, and it can make a difference. And it may take years. It's not always fast. This was a nice quick one. I was up at church about a month later studying 10 o'clock at night. The outside buzzer rang, and you didn't go to the door where our church is, a gang area. I got where I could see, and it was Darren out there. And, folks, he was just pacing back and forth like a wild animal. And he looked awful. His hair was messed up. I thought, he's on drugs. He's strung out. You know, I dreaded it. And I went to the door, and I said, Darren, what is it? And he almost ran over me. He just ran in. I thought, yep, he's on drugs. And he went down to my office, and the guy was pacing back and forth, and he kept saying, I can't stand this. I can't stand it. I said, what's the matter with you? And he said, I don't know what's the matter with me. And we went back and forth, and finally, I just took him by the shoulder, and I said, Darren, tell me what's going on with you. He looked at me with a puzzled look, and he said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, all I can think about is giving my whole life to Jesus Christ. That man was under Holy Spirit conviction. The strongholds in that man's life were coming down. Because his mom was praying on a different level. You know what? He didn't even need me. He just knelt on the floor and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And when he got up, I was looking at a new creature. Folks, his eyes were different. His face was different. Sunday morning, he ran down the church aisle. Church couldn't believe it. Addie could believe it. She was expecting it. And you know what? God gave Darren the most beautiful singing voice you've ever heard in your life. It's like 20 years ago. He's now one of the strongest deacons in Nashville, Tennessee. 4 years ago, big mission trip to Russia at his own expense. Last year to Germany at his own expense. Guess what's happening right now? He's getting ordained as a minister. God hadn't lost his power, folks. But many Americans have lost what the Bible calls the effective, fervent prayer of a clean heart, the abiding type prayer. But it's so easy. It's not out of reach. That woman didn't pray 3 hours a day. And she wasn't perfect. There was days she missed some days. But she let the Lord, by his grace, take her to the place she was praying in greater faith, greater power. And God is doing it. All across this country, we're seeing so many people prayed, and the answer hadn't come yet. It just hadn't. Revival hadn't come yet. And it'll be in God's time. But he's ordained it's going to be through this type of prayer. Could I ask you just this question this morning? Do you have a daring? You know what, folks? Many of us do. Don't be ashamed of that. But here's the real question. Does your daring have an addy yet? Where you've really gone, you're going to another level. And it's not like you get to a certain point and you've arrived. No, we have to keep going. But do you sense that what Addie's experiences is you need to go further in that direction? Well, I've got good news for you. You can. But you have to do what she did, and you have to decide, Lord, by your grace, I'm going further. I'm going to embrace this cleansing. I'm going to let you strengthen my faith. I never will forget it. She knelt at the altar, and you know, you don't have to kneel on an altar, but she said, Lord, I'm not going to quit till my daring's saved. She said, I'm not going to quit till you've done a work in me, till I'm praying on a different level, till you're able to use me to tear down. Folks, could I ask you this? Are our darings not worth 15, 20 more minutes? You know, they really are. The devil's firing real bullets. He's slaughtering our kids and grandkids, but this is God's weapon. It's the effective, fervent prayer, the abiding type prayer, the God-seeking type prayer, and this is what he's taking us to. So I've got great news for you this morning. I am seeing it. It's not the majority. I don't want to mislead you or exaggerate. It's a small minority. But there's a little group of teenagers. Their prayer life is very different than it was a year ago. And you wouldn't believe what he's doing through some of their lives. There's a group of senior adults, and I love this. Because the devil's so good at beating us up. He'll tell you, well, you don't have time to pray powerfully. Or you're too bad. You're too weak. Or it's too late. He's really good at telling seniors, well, you didn't pray enough when they were growing up and they're grown now and you've grown grandkids. It's just too late now. You know what? The Word of God says our God can give back years locusts have eaten away. And I'm seeing some senior adults. I mean seniors. Know what I mean? That are not listening to it's too late. I can't change. And we've seen people that have taught Sunday school for 40 years. And I tell you, folks, one of our risks is pride. We say, oh, I know all about prayer. There may be more we can learn. But you're seeing these people make an adjustment, and it is astounding what God does within a few months and years. It's just astounding. But they have to come to a point of saying, Father, I'm going to live a God-seeking life. My prayer life is not going to be rushed. It's going to have a lot of surrender in it, and I'm going to let you increase my faith. And friends, that's exactly, see, remember what we started this message with? He said, I have plans for you. And remember what the plan is? Not about being religious. It's about a relationship. It's about a prayer life. It's about a surrendered heart that allows him to fill you. Because, folks, we're all going to have, you know, there's times he's going to say, we're going through the mountain, not over it. He said, you're going to live with that illness, not going to get you past it. But what this enables is the joy to be there. This enables the power to be there, the motivation to be there. If I only wrote when I felt like it, I'd never write. If I only spoke when I felt like it, I'd never speak. But see, he gives us a supernatural power and a joy, but only if we let him take us to the abiding prayer life. He loves you so much. Why do you think God wants you to hear this today? You know, I could have been no telling where today. Home on my wife. But for whatever reason, he wanted us at this time, in this place. Maybe some of us have darings. And you know, the daring might be in here. It might be something in me that's holding me back. It might be fear, anger, wrong thoughts. It might be some unforgiveness that I just have trouble. See, he loves us. He knows it's not easy. He knows we have battles. But this commitment to go deeper, in time, you will see. Remember what he said? You seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You draw near with me with real cleansing, not the American version, I'll draw near to you. So would this be a good day for you to say, for the sake of my daring, my church, my nation, my heart, my lost neighbors, most of all for the glory of God, I'm going deeper. You know, things can be different. It's awful easy to get in a rut. We don't mean to. I've done it many times. But wouldn't it be awesome if 6 months from now you could say, you know what, I've grown more than I've grown in 6 years. Or I'm just like a different person. Or you've seen some mountains finally move. This is how it happens. Let's bow together in prayer. With every head and heart bowed before God. Just in the quiet of this moment. What has God said to you today? Now don't let your mind wander. I know how Satan is. This is crucial. What's he said to you? Oh, we're seeing so many precious folks that joined a church, but it's dawned on. I joined because somebody wanted me to, or it just seemed right, or my friends did. But I didn't really surrender. I didn't get that new birth. I don't have that perfect peace the Bible talks about. Jesus said, if anybody comes to me, there's no way I'll turn them aside. But you got to really come. It's all by simple faith. It's the grace of God. It's just trusting Him. But you've got to mean that. It's not like ordering pizza. Maybe today you realize, you know, Greg, I'm like your Aunt Ruth. You may be young, you may be old, you may be in the middle. But you say, Greg, I really know that I've never really come to that place of surrendering to His Lordship by grace through faith. Then if that's the case, you know it. Do not let pride send you to hell. Do not let any fear. There is nothing to be ashamed of. Your pastor will be down here. You can leave this place today knowing you're born again. Or you may be here today and you say, Greg, I definitely know I'm saved. But Brother Greg, I'm like Miss Addie. I prayed. I've seen some answers, but the mountains. And Greg, the power is not there. And Greg, my faith needs to deepen. And I've got some darrens. This morning, would you be willing to do what she did? And say, Father, by your grace, I'm covenanting with you to seek your face, to go deeper, to embrace those three little things. If you need help, the little book will show you exactly what to do. But you've got to decide today, for the sake of my Darren, for the glory of God. Lord God, I'm going deeper. Father, thank you. You have a plan for us. Lord, thank you. You want to do even greater things than we've ever seen. Thank you for what you are doing. But Lord, we know you want to do some new things, a new work. So Lord, today as a church, Lord, as individuals, help us, even as husbands and wives, to covenant and commit, to ask this day, that we're going to let you take us deep. We're going to start a new journey with you. Lord, for some of us need to rededicate our life to surrender and to prayer, help us do it. For some of us need to join this church, perhaps help us do it. God, above all, if there's some here that just need to make sure they're saved, Lord, this day, thank you that your plan is to touch us. So, Father, help us this moment to let you do it. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear